So 14 days in, I wonder how we're getting on with our New Year's resolutions. I wonder if anybody still makes New Year's resolutions. Anybody made any that they're willing to share? Or have we given up making New Year's resolutions? We've given up making New Year's resolutions. I came across a different invitation this New Year, and it was to pray and to seek God's word. What's God's word for your life through 2018? It's an interesting thing to do, to take some time and to think about what's your word for me through this coming year, and to think about how that word then works out and evolves through the coming year. And I wondered, what might God's word for us as church be through 2018? And here's a thought. Thank you, Peter. What do you think the word might be? So on the screen, we've got a dot-to-dot, which gives you a little bit of a clue, maybe, or maybe it doesn't help at all. But if you had to think about what's God's word for us as a congregation together that might have something to do with dot-to-dot, what do you think? Any ideas? Sorry? Follow a path. Brilliant. Okay. So thank you, Valerie. Something about following the path, trusting where we're being led. Yeah, okay. Anything else? Ah, that's point two in my message. Thank you, Rosemary. So each person has a part to play. So it's vital that we play that part. Okay, so the word then, Peter, do you want to do the big reveal? Connect. And as I thought about, so what might that mean? What does it mean for us to connect? And what's that got to do with dot to dot? We'll have our next slide, Peter. Thank you. Which number do you think the arrow's pointing to? One. Because the beginning is a very good place to start, isn't it? And so when we come to join the dots, it's about starting at the beginning. And so for me, there's something about the word connect and tapping back into first things first. Comes back to that to-do list where all those things were good that were held up, but some of them are more important than others. And actually, connecting with God, if we don't connect with God first, then we'll be so much less effective. And if we don't connect with God first in our everyday living, then we'll miss out on a myriad of resources and strength and help and support. The workshop leader came into the room, and I'm sure you've heard this illustration in other formats, but places that jar on the table and takes out a load of rocks and puts the rocks into the jar and says to the people, "Is it full?" And somebody says, "Well, of course it's full." At which point the leader takes out tiny shingle pebble and pours that in, and the shingle fills up the cracks that are left between the big rocks, and then says, "Is it full?" "Yes." "Well, what about putting some sand in?" And then the sand trickles in. And then, "Is it full?" "Well, what about if we tip some water in?" And the workshop leader then says, so what's the lesson?" And somebody says, "No matter how full the jar is, there's always room for more." "Not quite," said the leader. "But the lesson is that in order to fit everything into the jar, you've got to put the big things in first. There's no point in filling the jar with water and then trying to put the rocks and the sand and the shingle in. And God and our relationship with them ought to be the rock around which everything else is fitted and shaped and scheduled. When it comes to following Jesus, the key rock is abiding with him. And as in any relationship, the extent of the love within that relationship is often spelt T-I-M-E. And if the extent of our relationship with God is reflected in the time that we share, then I wonder where that places God on our to-do list. So as we think about connecting together as followers, what opportunities might you like to see HMC make available that would help you connect with God more effectively through 2018? What helps you at the moment? A helpful suggestion that I read was to put abiding time as an entry in your diary. A time for God to block out and to be intentional. Because we can all empathise with the thought that, yeah, God needs to be up there at the top of the to-do list. But somewhere between the thought and the action, something happens. And maybe just putting it in the diary, abiding time, would help us connect more effectively. If you've flown recently, part of that safety briefing says that, you know, in the event of an emergency, if the oxygen fails, what should you do? If the oxygen fails in the cabin, go on, Claire. Fit your own mask first before you try to help anyone else. That's not being selfish, because if you're not accessing oxygen while you're helping somebody else, then the amount of time you're going to be able to help is severely limited. And if we don't allow God to keep our spiritual oxygen tanks refreshed, then our ability to be spiritually alert to others will be inhibited too. So, first things first. I'm going to take us on another slide, Peter. Thank you. And to Rosemary's point, okay, the picture's beginning to evolve. I guess some of you'd worked out what the picture was a long time ago. But the picture's beginning. But it's come to a halt. And it's come to a halt because of what Rosemary said. Connecting is about remembering that each of us are a vital link. I love the story of the birthday party that finished, and the person celebrating the party, instead of giving out the traditional party bag, gave each person an envelope. And inside the envelope, there was a note, handwritten, personal, telling that person, the recipient, what they meant to the person whose birthday party they'd been to. And also enclosed was a piece of a jigsaw puzzle, a reminder that each person was unique and important. As we connect, we need to connect together. For God didn't create us to be independent from each other, didn't create us to tell someone else, it's all right, you're not needed. Your gift isn't needed. And it's all too easy. It's all too easy to feel less important than somebody else whose gifts might appear different, might appear more visible or more valuable. And yet maybe for some of us the invitation through 2018 is to remember to see ourselves as God sees us, as uniquely created and highly valued, as necessary. Imagine if some of those dots in the picture chose to absent themselves, believing that they wouldn't be missed. Or imagine if an instrument in the band thought, well, it doesn't matter, I don't need to play. The picture would be incomplete. The sound, there would be something missing. People would fail to be reached if we choose not to believe that we're a vital link. And so maybe there's something through this year about making it the year when we affirm the giftedness of each other, when we build each other up so that everyone knows that they matter in our picture. So who might you encourage in their calling today? And in what ways can you commit to being part of HMC's life through 2018? What might it mean for you to commit to being part of the life more fully of us through this coming year? Choosing not to believe that actually if you don't take part, you'll not be missed. But instead, remembering that you're vital. And the last one, thank you, Peter. There you go. Together we reveal God's heart for all. One writer wrote of discovering a surprise on his desk one morning. It was a sunflower mug, and it came with an encouraging note for his wife. Another colleague had been shopping, had seen the mug, had thought of the man's wife, and bought this gift for her. And the writer observes that the colleague could simply have noticed the mug and thought of the woman and done nothing about it. Or the colleague could have talked to others about the woman. But those things wouldn't have provided the encouragement and the affirmation that comes from taking action. And so how we connect is important. How we connect is important. And are we connecting with compassion, with care, with love, with authenticity? John, in his first letter, encourages his followers to be active in their compassion, loving not merely in word or in tongue, but in deed. When we become aware of a need, it's good not only to think about it, not only to pray about it, but to act on it as we can. For as we show compassion, we point others to Jesus. And we might never know the extent of that compassionate act. Some of you will know the name of Francis Schaeffer, an accomplished author and theologian whose work continues to help others discover the reality of God's love for them. But it could have been so different, because Francis was dyslexic. And so when he went to college, one of his first assignments he handed in, his philosophy professor said to him, "This is probably the best philosophy essay that I've ever read, together with the worst spelling I've ever seen." And because the policy of the college was that they would deduct marks for spelling errors, the professor said, "I have to fail you." And Francis allegedly says, "Sir, I could never spell. Could you please just read what I'm saying and not worry about the spelling?" And after a long pause, the professor replied, "Mr. Schaeffer, I think we'll do just that." That wise and compassionate response encouraged a gifted young man and had repercussions and ripples far beyond that lecture room. As we travel through this year together, as we connect, as we put first things first, as we affirm the necessity of one another. So let's be compassionate in our connecting with others, remembering, as someone wrote, a Christian's life is the window through which others can see Jesus. Christian's life is the window through which others can see Jesus. And what kind of picture does our actions convey about Jesus? Is it a picture that will attract others, or is it a picture that reinforces those stereotypes that God is angry and judgmental and to be appeased? May we live ensuring that we reflect Jesus' heart and not just our agenda. Amen.